Hi, friends. I'm Rob Tigan.
And I'm Joanna. And this is the Growing Home Together podcast.
We're caring for the soul of your family, helping you grow closer to God
and each other. Thank you for joining us today for the Growing Home Together podcast. Now, Rob and I just got home from the Replanted Conference for Adoptive Parents, and we definitely noticed in that setting how our true personalities came to light. After the crowds, we craved some solitude, and after the busyness and the noise, we kind of wanted some dim lights and quiet moments to regroup. Now, the conference was amazing, but we needed to step away from it to process and take hold of what we had learned. So events like that show in all kinds of ways that Rob and I are true introverts.
Right. But I have to say, if one of us would have been an extrovert, it probably would have been a very different experience. We might have been in conflict over how to spend our evenings. We might have been frustrated if one of us wanted to stay and talk to keep the party going and one of us wanted space. One of us might have felt bored while the other felt overstimulated. An introvert and extrovert can struggle in their differences and feel frustrated and misunderstood in their marriage.
Right, and that's why we're so glad to have Holly Girth and Jason Rovenstein on the show today. Holly is a best-selling author, she's a coach and podcaster and a counselor who authored her book, The Powerful Purpose of Introverts. She and Jason have teamed up to create resources to help introvert and extrovert couples build happy and understanding relationships.
Yes, and Jason Rovenstein is a business partner with Holly, who is a self-described visionary introvert, an innovator, and a life coach who empowers content creators to change the world. Thank you, Holly and Jason, for joining us today.
Thanks for having us. Yeah, we're excited to be with you.
So before we jump into our topic today, would you tell us how you guys got into and passionate about understanding and teaching the meanings of introverts and extroverts?
Sure. Well, Jason and I have been friends for a long time, over two decades, and we are both in creative work together. And I discovered in college that I was an introvert. It was at a campus ministry meeting. They had a guest speaker talking about personalities. And I had this light bulb moment when they said the word introvert that, wow, there are other people who are wired like me, and there are even some benefits of it. And so in spite of that, when I started publishing books and speaking, I told myself, now I have to be different than who God made me for him to use me. And that pushed me to a place of burnout. And God said, go home to who you are, be who I created you to be. And I started a deeper learning journey about what it actually means to be an introvert. So for me, that looked like a lot of research, conversations, engaging with introverts around the globe. And that turned into my book, The Powerful Purpose of Introverts. And Jason read that book, which is what sparked his journey of having an aha moment about being an introvert too.
Yeah. So unlike Holly, I did not know from an early age that I was an introvert. And it was only through reading her book that I discovered that. So this is about 20 years of professional life that I operated in this extrovert thinking world, or kind of a sense that I ought to be different than who I really am. And so through reading Holly's book, I really, it's been a gift to me because I realized God did make me this way. And just because I like people doesn't mean I'm an extrovert. That's one of those lies I believed, was that, well, I can't be an introvert because I love people so much. But certainly introverts love people, as evidenced in myself.
Okay. Yeah, I totally hear what you're saying, because when I hear the words introvert and extrovert, I automatically form an idea in my brain about what that means. So I do picture an extrovert as somebody who's super outgoing and confident and maybe the life of the party. And I picture an introvert as kind of shy, maybe slow to take the lead and resistant to group situations. But Holly, after reading your book, you turn those ideas upside down for me. So can you help us find a more accurate definition of what it really means to be an introvert?
Yeah. So being an introvert or extrovert actually isn't about people at all. It's about our external environment and how we engage with it. So from a brain science perspective, a quick overview is that introverts and extroverts prefer a different neurotransmitter. Extroverts love dopamine, which is kind of like caffeine. It revs you up and prepares you for action. And introverts thrive on a different one called acetylcholine that works more like herbal tea. It calms you down. It's released when we do things like turn inward, reflect, have meaningful one-on-one conversations. And so that means that extroverts tend to be in their sweet spot where there's a lot going on in the external world around them. Introverts tend to be in their sweet spot when they can fully focus, when they can go deeper, when there's less going on around them, and they can be more in tune with their own inner world and the inner worlds of others. And so they actually are equally social, just differently social. And that shows up in processing too. Extroverts use a shorter, faster processing pathway in their brains. And so they're great at that quick back and forth kind of conversation. Introverts use a longer, more complex one that takes into account the past, present, and future. So we might need a little longer to respond, but often when we do, it's thoughtful, it's insightful. So you can see from that example how an extrovert and introvert could be a complement to each other, because one's going to probably be more decisive, but the other's likely to be a bit more intentional and thoughtful. And so while our differences can rub up against each other at times, really, I believe that we are better together. But as we're exploring, we are different. And while on the outside that looks like it's about people, it's really about how God created us to engage with the world around us and to process what we take in.
Yeah, that's good. I know similar, we all need this book, Holly, because, you know, just in talking here, three out of four of us, well, all of us at some point, but recently three out of four of us had a very misunderstood what introverts were like. And just like Joanna and Jason, I had these ideas of what it was. And so Joanna and I were taking the quiz that you have in your book. And I always thought Joanna was more extroverted than I was. I always saw her as an extrovert because she loves people and she just engages with people more than I do. But when we took the quiz, she scored higher as an introvert than I did, which kind of blew my mind. You rocked my world. So can you help me understand why I misunderstood her a little bit?
Yeah. Well, some people think of shyness as similar to introversion, and they're actually different as well. Shyness is about fear, and introversion is about a preference, like we were talking about, for a certain kind of environment. And so if we assume introverts are shy, then when you get someone who's great with people, you think, well, they can't be an introvert. But actually, introverts shine at meaningful connections. You know, they tend to prefer quality over quantity. So perhaps being with one friend over coffee or a few around a table is better than a big networking event. But like I said before, we equally love people. And as an introvert, I told myself for a long time that, you know, I had to socialize the way extroverts do. But I found when I looked at scripture, there's no instruction about quantity of relationship, just quality. And so probably what you've seen is Joanna engaging in a quality way with the people that God puts in her path and doing so in a way that fits her. And that's absolutely a great way for extroverts and introverts to operate. So I'm glad we're talking about this because I think it is one of the biggest myths that we need to put aside that somehow introverts are less social. Like I've said before, they're just differently social.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is one of, and I think you use the term in your book, superpower. That's definitely one of Joanna's superpowers, is like, I go into a crowded room and I'm like, okay, where do I start? Where do I begin? But Joanna, she does focus on that intentional quality, you know, kind of that deep relationship that you're talking about. And so she finds the people and she just talks and focuses on one person or two people and makes the most of that, where I'm still stressed by the time we're on our way home. So. That's good.
Well, you know, you're describing some pretty fundamental differences in the way that introverts and extroverts think and live at their best. So I guess it's no surprise that that could create all kinds of tension and conflict in a marriage if you feel mismatched with your partner. So from what you have seen, what are some of the key ways that an introvert and extrovert might struggle in their relationship?
Well, one of the aha moments I had when writing the book was that introverts and extroverts experience happiness differently. So because extroverts thrive more on dopamine, happiness to them feels like enthusiasm and excitement, where for introverts, happiness often feels like calm and contentment. So you can imagine if you're trying to make your partner happy, who's the opposite type of you, you might choose something that is actually not a great fit. Say it's their birthday and the extrovert wants to make the introvert feel really special. So they plan a surprise party for 50 people and then don't understand why the introvert is more overwhelmed than enthusiastic about it. Or maybe the reverse. The introvert says, I'm going to give this person, 100% focus. I'm going to take them out to dinner, just the two of us. And the extrovert's thinking, man, I really wanted to celebrate with all my people. And so I think that is one thing that we can look at. And I'm glad that Jason is here because I happen to be in an introvert marriage. And so I'm learning a lot about what it looks like to be in an introvert extrovert marriage. So I'm going to pass this to Jason and let him tell us about what this looks like with him and Lisa.
Great.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. So I've been married to Lisa 23 years, 4 kids. And again, I thought I was an extrovert all this time. And so really understanding the uniqueness of being an introvert as pertains to our relationship has really been helpful. And I think, the primary thing is just giving each other permission. So giving Lisa space to, she talks with her hands real big. She's always gesticulating. Is that the right word? Always moving her hands around. I'm always moving stuff out of the way because I think she's going to knock stuff over. And then she gives me permission to go deep and be thoughtful. So imagine date night, in Lisa's mind, hey, let's go to the carnival or let's go to something with lots of stimulation, lots of activity. And date night for me is, well, let's go to the spa. Let's go somewhere quiet. Let's go for a slow walk somewhere. But I think understanding that about each other and then just giving permission, giving space, like that's it's a form of grace. And, I'd say in those marriages that where there is an introvert married to an extrovert, there's a subtle bit of shame, I think, that comes from you feeling like I need to be more like you both ways. I think the extrovert towards the introvert and vice versa. And I think just giving space for that and just acknowledging it, talking about it after church. Lisa's always wanting to stay and visit with people. I'm kind of, hey, let's head to the house. I'm overloaded. There's been so much going on. And, one example, I think of Christmas time, went to the in-laws, and an introvert wants to go read a book and get quiet. And that's perceived as almost like, well, what's wrong with us? Are you not wanting to be around us? And when you really dig into it and understand it, it's like, no, this is my resting space. My brain is tired. I'm done. I can't think. I can't process anymore. I need time to go get quiet and purge all the stuff that we've been taking in. So, it's fun though. I wouldn't trade Lisa for anyone else. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's good. And yeah, I know it's tempting to think that we'll be happy if we can just get our spouse to be like us, right? So if I can, work really hard to change my spouse and change the way they think, and if they can act the way I act and in situations and make decisions the way I make decisions, then I'll feel happy. But that can really make our spouse feel unloved and unheard. So you've described that a little bit, but how can we change our perspective to see our differences as benefits instead of drawbacks in our marriage?
I think one of the ways is thinking about what drew us to that person in the very beginning. Like my husband is a fellow introvert. So for us, sometimes he's quiet. And I think, I wish you had more words. But that's also what drew me to him, his steady presence that's just consistent. No matter what, I can depend on him always. He's relentlessly kind to me. And so just thinking back, what drew me to this person? Was it that they're adventurous? Was it that they helped me reflect in a deeper way? Was it they broaden my horizons? What is it that drew me to them? And remembering that's a strength, even though sometimes in daily life, it may show up as a struggle. And I think catching your spouse doing things that are right, making sure you say, thank you, I appreciate you, I noticed that you did that, I see this quality in you, and continuing to call it out, because I think the longer we're with someone, the easier it is to just kind of say, oh yeah, you've heard all that. You know what I appreciate about you. But remembering to call out strengths, especially I think strengths that are different than ours, and say, hey, we're better together because of this. You know, sometimes it means we bump up against each other, but really in the long run, we're better together. So Jason, what would you say?
Yeah, I, for sure. I look at, there's a couple things we've done that are, I won't call them coping mechanisms because it's not like we're in distress, but just one example is hand signals. So when we have a system for it, it's a hand signal once, twice, and then the third time is like, okay, babe, we're really ready to leave. And we learned this the hard way from, you know, being at a party and, you know, trying to leave. And then, you know, half hour later, still trying to leave. And then there's a fight that erupts on the way home because why didn't you listen to me? I was trying to get your attention. So we've developed some little systems like that where we can actually communicate to each other and express our needs. And, you know, Lisa's great. She lets me be needy. She lets me articulate what my needs are and listens to those. And I try to do the same for her. So, you know, having a safe space in marriage where you can actually go and talk about these things and have some framework. You know, the book's been so powerful for Lisa too, to really understand and give some common language to some of the, you know, issues that we look at differently.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. So, you guys have actually created a course for couples. I love that. To help them understand each other a lot better, right? And one thing in your course that really intrigued me was this idea of energy differences. I'd never really thought about it in those terms, and I was hoping that you could help us understand what energy differences are and how to approach those in marriage.
Yeah, well, because of those neurotransmitter differences, the dopamine and acetylcholine, it's different what we're energized by. So to be energized, an extrovert needs a lot going on. And so if you imagine going on vacation, they're probably going to pack full every day. And introverts are energized when they have time to get that acetylcholine flowing and take room to process. Those are deposits for them. So if you think of energy like a bank account, having a conversation with your spouse, like you would about your budget, and saying, what is a deposit for you and what is a withdrawal? And an easy way to do that is listing out all the activities you do for a day or a week, however long you want to do this. Put a plus by what energizes you, put a minus by what drains you. Use different colors of ink for each person and take a look at where you're at. Because if one person has all pluses and the other has all minuses, then something's out of balance. And then together you budget. You say, okay, for our energy budget, we're going to spend energy on Friday night going to this, you know, baby shower that's important to both of us because we love this couple and want to support them. But then Saturday morning, we get to sleep in and stay in our pajamas and make pancakes. And so I think it's just about, like Jason was saying, removing the shame of you should be like me, or why can't you just kind of endure this, or, you know, what is going on with you? But instead saying, how do we both thrive? How do we both live with our energy bank account at a level that's sustainable? And so I think it's just about having intentional conversations, just like you would about your finances. It's just figuring out, what are our expenses? What are our deposits? How do we make sure that we live in a way that's really helpful for both of us?
Yeah, I think understanding our spouse in these areas is really helpful. And it can, more than just dialing down the conflict and the confusion, it can actually help us understand how to take care of each other better. So how can you... either or both of you give us some insight on how a husband and wife can take this information and use it to show more empathy and meet each other's needs?
I think one powerful question in any relationship that I love is, how can I love you well right now? Mm-hmm. Just asking the person that, because with the best of intentions, we can assume we know the answer. And even with like the five love languages, which most of us are familiar with, things like words of affirmation and acts of service. If you have an introvert extrovert pairing, even that can look different. Like a words of affirmation extrovert might love for you to pull them up in front of everyone at Thanksgiving dinner and say why you're grateful for them. And the introvert might say, please don't do that to me. Like, write me a note and leave it on the pillow where I can read it in private. And so even with things like the love languages, I think it's just pausing and saying, how can I love you well right now? What truly makes you feel loved? And you might be surprised by the answer. You know, I've asked Mark that before, and he said some things that I'm like, what? That's no big deal. And he said, it's a big deal to me. And I had no idea. So I think, again, it just comes back to intentional conversation and giving each other a safe space to say, this is who I am. This is what I want. This is what I need. And then figuring it out together.
That's good, Holly. You know, and I'm thinking too, just consistency over time. It's something to have an epiphany and love your spouse well today or this week, but there's something about small little things sustained over time that really shows true love. And so I guess that's where I'd encourage us to look at not the big things or the, you know, hey, I did a great job loving Lisa well, but to say it's okay if it's a small thing over time is even better than the big things, right?
Hey there, friends. We're taking a short break from this episode to let you know about an excellent marriage resource available to you. After 30 years of marriage, Rob and Joanna Tigan are passionate to help couples draw closer to God and each other every day. And because of this, they have created Mr. and Mrs. 366 Devotions for Couples. This gorgeous book gives you an inspiring scripture, a word of teaching and encouragement, and a prayer to lift up together every day of the year. It's incredible how connecting with God and each other through a daily devotional can transform your marriage and give you hope. You can find Mr. and Mrs. 366 Devotions for Couples at growinghometogether.com or wherever books are sold. Okay, friends, let's get back to the show.
Yeah, that's good. And, you know, I think what I love about that is, as I said, Holly, you kind of rocked my world in the book there as I realized Joanna's a higher on the introvert than I am. But I realized we've kind of done that just over the years of almost 30 years of marriage. Like, one a core value for our family is hospitality. We love having people. But that just, and Joanna, because of that deep connection that she loves, makes a point of that. So she'll let me know, you know, we got 9 people coming over Saturday, and my stress levels go up a little bit as I think about that. But I've just realized over the years, as we've communicated through that, that we're very careful with how we structure things and how we do things and how we plan for having people over. So I think even if you're both introverts, you know, having these conversations is good because you can't assume that you're both at the same levels or have the same needs. So that communication piece is important on all levels. So I love that.
Yeah. And what you just shared, Rob, is a great example of, for you, having that many people over is an expense to your energy. But if Joanna tells you ahead of time, then you can prepare for that the way you would an expense to your budget. You can say, okay, the rest of the day I'm blocking off. I get to read and go on a walk and take a nap. You know, I'm known to take pre-event naps. So like you're saying, communication is key, because if she surprises you with that an hour before, then you already may be an introvert red zone where you've depleted all of your energy. And then that situation is a lot more challenging than if you say, okay, this is coming up. I'm going to plan for it. I'm going to budget for it so I can be fully present because I know this is coming. So that is a great example.
That's right. So you heard that, Joanna. If I'm having a nap while you're getting ready for company, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. No problem. And, you know, I'm thinking about what Jason had to say a minute ago, how so many times it's the little things. And it made me think about Rob. Rob's favorite thing is music. And we have the very loud speaker right in the middle of our living space. And there's music playing all the time. But there can be a point in the day, especially, you know, that dinner hour. There's kids everywhere. There's so much going on. And everything in me is just like, can someone turn it down, you know, this is one thing too much for me. And it was a struggle for a while because I felt like if I did ask Rob to turn it down, here I'm taking away something that he enjoys. But we've just gotten to a place where he totally gets me now. And what could be just a source of constant irritation, you know, it becomes a chance for Rob to just show kindness to me literally every single day when he turns it down for me. So it is those little things like you were saying, Jason.
Yeah. And it's helpful to know things like that aren't about, well, I just want my way. You know that there's a reason behind it. And really, it's both of you saying we're committed to doing what will help our marriage thrive. And that means sometimes we turn down the music, sometimes we turn it up. But I think understanding how we're wired differently allows us to take a step back and say, okay, this person isn't just pushing their preferences on me. It's not just about you want to go out and I want to stay home. It's about God has intentionally created each of us. And that means that we can learn to thrive together. Each of us will make sacrifices at some point because of that. But both of us also need to receive in certain ways at times because of that. And so I know we keep going back to communication, but I really feel like that is the key, just understanding who God created us to be and how can we help each other become more of who he intended us to be.
Right. And, you know, it's making me think of that verse that says to not only look to our own interests, but look to the interests mm-hmm. of others. And this exact thing that we're talking about today is a way to practice that over and over again, just to love each other in a Christ-like way that can, yeah, like you're saying, Holly, give up our own preferences.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like Rob said, we've been married almost 30 years and yeah, I do have to get a little uncomfortable sometimes to give him joy. Like I was saying, Rob loves music. That includes the big old concerts at the arena downtown, which is kind of surprising for an introvert, honestly, honey, how much you like that. But that is a lot of volume, a lot of light, a lot of parking and lines and people and all the things that go with it. But sometimes just because I love him, I need to go. And, you know, what he'll do is he'll wander around museums with me, bored out of his ever-loving mind. So in your lives and in your marriage, how have you had to step into your partner's world a little bit?
Well, my husband and I were both introverts. He is very logical and I'm very emotional. So I remember when we did premarital counseling, they had us take some assessment and like the line was parallel until the very end where that part was. And then it was completely split. Like he was really high and I was really the other way. And so the counselor said, this is where you're going to struggle. And sure enough, that's where we struggled. And so what we started doing is having a breakfast date every Saturday morning. And we know that's our time to process together. So I go into it knowing, okay, Mark is going to want to talk about numbers and real estate and things that maybe don't always light me up, but matter to him. And he goes in knowing, okay, Holly's going to want to process her feelings and her ideas and the books that she's read. And he's not completely into those things. But for me in that time frame, he's all in. And so I think doing that intentionally every week helps it spill over into the rest of our week as well. Like we had to almost become fluent in each other's language. You know, he had to learn to speak Holly. I had to learn to speak Mark. And so I think it's something that takes practice and intentionality and just figuring out, okay, how can I connect with this person? And I think, you know, you gave the example of like going to a concert. I think that's a great example because you wouldn't want to live at a rock concert, but it's okay to go for an evening. And so that's what you can look for when it comes to surrendering your preferences for your partner, is saying, I'm going to do that in a specific way at this specific time, or we're going to have this rhythm in our life that regularly lets that happen. But I'm going to make sure neither one of us is living in an environment that's ultimately unsustainable. If your life felt like a rock concert, I think it wouldn't be sustainable for either of you. And so I think that's important too, that you never want one partner to say, this is unsustainable. It's more about setting a intentional time aside and building those rhythms into your life. So what about you and Lisa, Jason? How does that work out for you?
Yeah, that's good. Well, one thing that Holly, you taught me was you can be outdoors without a jacket on a cold day and you can sustain that for a while, but at some point you get frostbite or hyperthermia, right? And so to your point, Holly, finding those in the right amount of doses to step into your partner's world, if it's very different than yours. And then, you know, I want to not forget too, I know this is about marriage, but our kids are also benefit from this, the communication, the having a posture of leaning towards their temperament. And I think if is as I've looked at this introvert extrovert thing, which was a whole new thing for me, I think it's probably the most misunderstood or maybe least understood insights to human nature. Everybody knows what an introvert extrovert is, or they think they do. And, you know, as I look at the past 20 years, the dissonance that I was living in, it feels like to me, it's like rolling down the window in a car with the other three windows up, and you get that vibration of air that just drives you crazy. I think understanding this about yourself and giving yourself permission to say, no, I like who God made me. I think you become a better parent, or you become a better spouse, because you actually can appreciate who you are, and you're taking a posture of shifting from trying to please your partner or become like your partner or fit into your partner's world to say, no, this is healthy. There's a uniqueness to this, and it helps your partner obviously understand you as well. So it's on my heart for all my introvert friends. Like, oh, I hope you know who you really are, because there's something very beautiful and special, and we need you to be your introvert self. And in your marriage, if you're married to an extrovert, your extrovert spouse needs you to be an introvert. Mm-hmm. That's part of God bringing you together. And the more you're trying to fit into your spouse's world and become like your spouse, it's not healthy and it's not great on marriage, but the marriage can't reach what its potential is until both parties accept their godness, what God's placed in them as unique.
Yeah,
amen.
That's really good, Jason. And I think, as I think about that, just even in kind of our journey and reading through Holly's book and discovering Joanna is more extroverted than I am, introverted than I am, sorry. We do make assumptions even in that. And I can appreciate the fact now that she longs for and wants deep connection so much that she's willing to step into some of those other things and do that. So I think you're right. We make a lot of assumptions of what an extrovert is or what an introvert is, rather than coming together and discovering together how we can better communicate. And I'm sure there's a lot of people listening who feel discouraged today because they don't feel heard or understood or feel like their spouse is pushing them to be something they're not. So what would you guys say to a couple who's feeling that way today?
Oh, I just say go for it. Like, your marriage can only get better by just, you know, jumping in. It's communication. It's I'm borrowing another page from the Holly book, but it's articulating needs in ways that aren't accusatory. One of the things Holly's taught me to do is say the story I'm telling myself, and then you fill in the blank with whatever that is. So when Lisa's on the back porch and she's in the middle of email and doing something, and I walk past and greet her, or ask her a question, and she doesn't answer, I walk on down to the garage to work on something. And then the story I start telling myself is she's angry, she's upset, instead of, I'll go back upstairs. Hey, Lisa, the story I'm telling myself is you're ignoring me because you're upset about such and such. And it gives her the opportunity to say, oh no, that's not what was happening at all. That's different than me coming in and accusing her. Hey, you're ignoring me. But yeah, I mean, just jump in. Like, it can only better your marriage to have those hard conversations and say, hey, I have a need here and it's not being met. Or, can you look at this a little bit from my perspective? I think, that's been my challenge is yielding a whole lot or trying to fit into someone else's world and not acknowledging I have needs too. God made me with needs, and it's okay to have those. It's part of who we are. And jump in would be my advice.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think just like Jason was saying, being really clear about what you need, saying, I need you to be more loving, you know, to your opposite spouse, they're likely to misinterpret that because they're going to see it through the filter of their type. An introvert's going to hear it as an introvert, an extrovert's going to hear it as an extrovert. And so saying, can we go to breakfast every Saturday morning so we have time to process together for an hour? That's a yes or no request that the person can respond to. They can either say, yes, let's do it. Or they can say, well, how about this instead? And so I think letting our spouses off the hook when it comes to knowing what we need, our culture tends to believe this lie that if someone loves us, they always know what we want and need. And we are not superhuman. No one knows that. We all filter through our own experience and identity. We all have an inside look at ourselves, but no one else. And so I think it is just making it really clear and saying, not in a demanding way, but as an invitation to intimacy and connection, saying, I love you. I value our relationship. I want us to be connected. Even saying, I feel really scared to tell you this. I'm afraid if I say, I feel like a bad mom because I need some time away from our kids every now and then. Like just bringing those vulnerable emotions to the surface often disarms people, especially if there's been conflict in the past, because both of you probably feel defensive and like you need to prove that you're not doing something wrong or that you really are a good husband or wife. And so I think it, yeah, it just goes back to that intentional connection, but starting with being clear about what you want and need, which may be hard for you too, if you've tried to be a different type for a long time, and maybe first getting in touch with that for yourself, then bringing those needs before God, and then with courage and the right timing, taking them to your spouse as well.
That's good, Holly. And you know, when your spouse does love you well, it is absolutely critical that you thank them, that you call that out and say, thank you for prioritizing our relationship. Thank you for letting me have that space. That's the only way your spouse really learns. It's that positive affirmation. So you know, when that does work well, make sure and celebrate that.
I love that. You know, this just kind of proves the point that no matter how long you've been married, there's always new things to learn about the person that you're married to, new qualities in them that maybe were right under your nose the whole time that you never maybe saw and appreciated before. And this just seems like a really beautiful way to breathe life into a marriage when you feel like, you know, maybe it's same old for a while. So this is just such a refreshing conversation for me. And we really do appreciate your insight to help us understand each other better. Would one of you or both of you be willing to pray for our listeners who really do want to honor their spouse as a unique and special person created by God and who wants to feel love that way for themselves?
Sure, I can. God, I just thank you for creating each of us in your image, introvert and extrovert. And I pray for everyone listening, as well as their spouses, that you would bring us more into the fullness of who you've made us to be. Show us where we've taken on shoulds or ought tos that you never laid on our shoulders. Help us to set those down and help us instead to pick up grace and love and the knowledge that we are worthy, that we belong, that we are yours. I thank you for the gift of marriage, how you bring two humans together and make them one in a way that only you can. That is a mystery, and there's even a bit of divine magic in it. And we just pray that you would strengthen the marriage of everyone listening, that you would bless and grow it, that together we would be better and we would make the world a better place too. And we love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Yeah. Thank you so much, Holly and Jason. You've given us some great insight and encouragement today. And I know our listeners are going to want to learn more about you and your resources and how they can get a hold of those. So where can they go to connect with you online?
We have some exciting things coming soon, but right now the best place to connect with us is hollygirth.com/introverts.
That's fantastic. I know I've had so much fun on your site, just looking at all the great things to take hold of. Thank you so much, both of you, for taking the time to help us grow our relationships.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thanks so much.
Yes, and thank you, friends, for joining us today on the podcast. We'd love to connect with you as well over at our website, growinghometogether.com, where you can find a free marriage devotional, plus all kinds of resources to help you get in the Word, praying together, building your faith and your relationship together. At Growing Home Together, we're caring for the soul of your family.
And we're growing home together with you. Bye.
Bye.